The University Tower chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hi.
Hi. Was that just like a quick Facebook interlude, or you were looking up gardening stuff, weren't you?
I get an awful lot of gardening stuff on my Facebook page.
I bet you do.
Yeah. I'm trying to distract myself from the fact that all of those beautiful daffodils that are coming out in my front garden beds are just covered in snow.
Yeah. I cut all mine over the weekend and put them in a vase.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Nice.
We have a bunch, by the way, I'm sure you've noticed, daffodils all around the chemistry building.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're going to be toast in about 48 hours.
Well, we'll see.
So.
You know, more may come out. So.
Knock on wood.
Well, you know,
but
there's
anyway,
that great stretch on Woodward from the cemetery all the way down to Seven Mile. It's just beautiful.
We run along there. And...
Really I've seen a great number of forsythias already blooming. And first I think of you, and then
covered
I
with snow on my way in. Today.
Yeah, and then it must be
we'll
spring.
We'll see. I actually planted.
Depanted? What?
Thinking about our previous episode,
that's right.
I planted some pansies.
You planted them.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they'll be okay because they're pretty cold hardy.
Good. Yes.
Anyway, moving on.
Continuing around the table, Professor Stephen Manning has joined us. This time he is, and I repeat, hatless.
Toothless.
Hatless.
Hatless.
Yes. Hatless.
Hotless.
Hot.
Oh, jeez.
This is going to drive me nuts for a few days.
I love these things. I think the measles are fun. Everybody should have the measles.
That's a hot take right there.
Yeah, that's
Professor
my
Bell
take.
Doesn't know what we're talking about.
We'll get around to it.
Yeah, there's a vaccine for that.
Yeah, there is a vaccine for that. And certain people running for president think it does not do anything.
Correct.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeesh, I don't even know what to say. I always look to you for like a nice little political zing from the previous week, but there's just too many zings this last week. So.
Full of zings.
Yeah.
Full of zings.
I did like it when the Dem senator, I want to say, no, it must have been House Rep, moved to impeach President Biden to dare the Republicans to give a second.
It was Jared Moskowitz, I think.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Yes, yep.
Yikes.
I liked it when Lev showed up to tell what was going on in Ukraine.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, do you have any special zings that you have saved up for us?
There's just so many
out
there.
There's too many zings.
You know, every day there are more.
Yep, that is true.
That thing you sent me from The Onion was pretty hilarious.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, I was going to say.
One?
Trump tries to get out of his trial by scheduling a dentist appointment the same day. There you go.
The first line of the article was everybody knows he doesn't have his teeth looked at in any regularity, right? So it's just...
I wouldn't put him past it to try it, though.
No, seriously. Continuing around the table, Professor James Tubbs.
Hello.
The third. Has returned from the other side of the marble. I'll only say that for this one more show.
Okay.
You're just back for regular.
Yeah, well, it felt like the other side of the world flying home.
I bet it did. So how does that look on the way back?
It's a long flight. It's not as long, though, as going.
Oh.
Going took longer.
Of course.
Because you're going against the jet stream or whatever the southern hemisphere version of that is.
Yeah, exactly.
But coming back, no. I think it was like 11 hours from Sydney to L.A., which was an hour. We were an hour early.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Wow.
That was
an hour early? Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
Yep.
I took a flight to New Orleans about 7 days ago, and we get in the air, and the first thing the captain says is, "This is going to be choppy stem to stern. No one's allowed to get out of their seat. No service. Good luck, suckers." Everybody was watching the news because that was the default setting on all the monitors. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the back of the plane, like I always am, and you're seeing what everybody else is watching, and they're all watching the clip of the people flying up to the, you know, and I'm like,
Hey, it could have been worse. You guys could have all had, like, airplane on or something like that, you know?
Was it a direct flight?
It was a direct flight. Okay. 2.5 hours.
There
wasn't
really
the
suckers line, though.
No.
Okay.
I was going to say. It was just sort of like, all these people wanted was, like, a sip of water, and at the end, they're like, please, sir. Where's my Coke?
Like Oliver Twist.
Yeah, exactly. May I have another, you know?
Well, despite the fact that it was, I managed to watch two full-length movies.
Oh,
and then between the two flights to LA and then to here, Two full-length movies, and then I started watching the HBO series, The Golden Age.
Oh, okay.
The Gilded Age. The Gilded Age. By the same people that did Downton Abbey.
Yes.
I watched 8 of the 9-hour episodes before we landed in Detroit.
Excellent.
So you missed one episode?
Wow.
The last one.
Oh, great.
Wow.
The cliffhanger.
That's incredible.
Which you've watched since you've been back.
No. I don't have HBO.
Oh.
But I will. I will watch it.
So, Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today. Regale us with stories of new motherhood. Your child, Millie, is 3 months old today.
3 months old today. I mean, new motherhood is...
Yes?
Lots of poop diapers.
Yay!
Watching The Sopranos with my baby.
Okay,
never
of
seen it before. Just like constantly learning and like watching this potato become like more of a human every day.
Totally.
And like one day she's like can't even focus on the toy right in front of her, and the next day she grabs it, and I'm like, what is happening?
And then next week she's going to have like an Italian accent, right?
I was going to say, if she drops the F-bomb, you know why that's happening.
Well, yes. And Josh and I aren't watching our language yet, but she's not really developed that far, so let's not worry about the body. Take the cannolis.
I am 100% on board with potato because we always called our tiny babies bologna loaves. If you just had a bologna loaf and you put it, you wrapped it up, no one would be able to help it. Like, seriously, it's sort of,
like charcuterie.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That sounds like
a lump of processed meat.
That sounds like a dream, actually. I know that it's difficult, but it's a lot of fun, right?
It really is. And looking at her cute little face when she's in my arms, there's really nothing like it.
You do know you're going to have to put this child in a pickle jar and make it smoke cigars in order to keep it the size. You know it's going to continue growing.
We'll see. I'll try.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
He's the only one I know who would come up with something like that.
I know.
Yeah, but I'm not a father.
Continuing
so I
around the table.
And now we know why.
Thank you.
Yes.
Professor Aaron Bell has joined us today. Glad to have you here, Aaron.
Thank you.
How is the world of search advocacy?
Oh, it's intriguing and wonderful and time-consuming. And I think everyone I know on campus is engaged in a search in some way, shape, or form. So, it's going well. Fridays are a good day for meeting here on campus. So,
nice.
And I have 4 kids, and none of them are in pickle jars, by the way, so far.
Okay.
Or smoking cigars, as far as I know.
They're growing. They're growing.
Oh, they're not
that
growing.
You know of.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. They're shorties.
All right. So what is something, let's use Mara's line of logic on your 4 children. What's something that one of your kids did recently that you were kind of surprised or excited about? Anything?
I don't know if this counts. My 10-year-old wanted her ears pierced, so we went to the tattoo shop to get her ears done. Eternal Tattoos in Clawson, Michigan. After some research, it turns out that those are much better places. They're a lot more acquainted with putting metal in people's bodies than going to the mall.
And an ear is an easy place.
I've got plenty of students that do it. So.
And she was already like, I can't wait to get the second and third. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Another whole entire kid. Way
10
to go.
10 years old. I love it. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Continuing around the table, a man who describes himself as not a father, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, and thankful I don't have any progeny. So.
But what baby are you birthing for Nissan? This I have to hear.
You ready for this? I'm doing consumer testing for Nissan right about now.
You are not.
I am.
That's so cool. Is it brakes? Is it brake pads?
No, it's drones. It's EV charging for Nissan.
Okay. Very interesting.
Very.
He can't tell us anything else.
I can tell you
folks.
Some off the air, but it's like let's just say there's a few concepts I'm like, no. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Have
it
deliver you a Mai Tai in your side yard there.
Not that far off.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's cool. Someone who thinks that drones delivering alcoholic beverages would be cool, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Yeah. I don't get to drink alcoholic beverages anymore, so would be.
There are other things that could be drone delivered.
Yes, true. Yes.
True. And that would be just fine.
Like the one pizza, the Mexican pizza could be delivered.
They don't have that at Meijer anymore.
We
they
haven't
still
been able
have,
to find it either.
They still have Jack's, but they don't have that, the Mexican one.
And we go to the Good Meijer now, and they don't have them there either.
But I
where's the good one?
Coolidge gets confusing to me when you get up around 13 and 14 miles, eight different directions.
So you're talking about Bougie Meyer at 13 at Woodward.
No, the mini Meyer? We're talking about the one on Coolidge.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Ooh. Which is probably the one you.
That's a better one.
Well, I mean, Coolidge crosses at just south of 13.
Across from English Gardens.
Got
it. Yes.
14.
Very.
All roads lead out from English Gardens.
So I have not had one of the Mexican pizzas in months and months.
Wow. Yeah, we have. Now I know how to make you really happy. I wonder if someone's got like a stockpile of them on eBay or something.
Yeah.
Just make it happen.
What, it's like Charleston Chew in bulk that somebody's hoarding or something like that? I mean, what?
This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie, Smokey. Hello, Prof. Mayo. My name is Tara Mio.
Tara.
No relation. And I am in Professor Oljar's Contemporary Moral Issues class. She said we could send in trivia questions for the show. So I've attached them, and I've included answers. Thank you, Tara. That's actually a big deal.
Are any of them moral issues?
Let's
immoral,
see.
How's it, immoral issues?
Question number one.
Uh-oh.
Is it moral to ask the question of in what country did the first Starbucks open outside of North America? No. It's in what country did the first Starbucks open outside of North America?
Canada?
Canada.
No.
Outside of North America.
Oh, North UK. America.
Oh, yeah, the UK.
France.
Russia. Japan.
It was Japan.
Japan.
They like their coffee over there. Their coffee.
Yep.
A tea-drinking nation.
No, they like their coffee.
They drink coffee, too.
Yeah, my cousins in China love coffee. They're not tea people.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to add the special sauce to this question of, in ancient times...
Yes.
Amazon only sold what products?
Books.
Books.
Yes, books. That's true. Oh, ancient times.
She put originally, but I feel like that's what the student was implying.
Yeah, they're selling Rainforest.
I remember those days.
Let's see. Who was the person and in what year to be the first woman to win a Nobel Prize?
Oh. Marie Curie?
Yes. What year was it?
1910?
A little 12? Bit earlier than that.
Oh, 1906.
1903 is what it is. Okay. Yep, 1903. Nice. First woman to win a Nobel Prize. First person to win two Nobel Prizes. Only person to have ever won two scientific Nobel Prizes. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big deal.
Marie Curie?
Yes.
Marie Curie.
Very good.
Yes. What kind of flower bulbs were once exchanged as a form of currency?
Tulip.
Tulips.
Gesundheit.
And tulips. Some of them commanded, like, what was it, the equivalent of 14 years of a common laborer's salary or something?
Whoa. That would be Dutch must have come up.
Back in the 17th century. Yeah.
That's wild.
In what year, I mean, this, it's hard to say that there's a thing, you know, but in what year did the internet open to the public, like, popularly speaking?
93?
It says 93.
What does Al Gore say?
That's when I got my first email address. That's all I know.
I was three, so.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry. That just hit me hard.
So sorry.
Oh.
So I have a former student, not with all due respect, Professor Livesey, not from the era that you've taught here at the university, turned 30 today.
I just sort of gasped
a little bit.
I have taught the offspring of students that I have taught here.
It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. What is August's birthstone?
Peridot.
Peridot is
his birthday is in August.
Oh.
Nice.
There we go.
I thought it was. Is that how it's pronounced? I always thought it was Peridot. I don't know.
There you go.
You can pronounce it either way.
You're probably getting more bougie.
Like both Peridot. Of those. Both of those.
Well, one of them is probably wrong.
I'm probably wrong.
Peridot.
Peridot. I like yours better.
Peridot.
Or biopic.
We'll have to ask a linguist at Harvard for the correct pronunciation.
The entire time we were doing the measles, I keep envisioning the line from, Shawshank Redemption. It's like, you're being obtuse. Is it deliberate? What was the first Earth Day? What year was the first Earth Day?
Oh, 71?
Wow, pretty good. 70. It says 1970 here. Yeah, yeah. Popularly speaking, which U.S. president is estimated to have probably had the highest IQ? I said the highest
Wilson?
IQ.
Wilson?
Doesn't say that.
I'd say JFK.
No, that's not what it says here.
Jefferson.
Taft? Jefferson would have been my guess, but that's
Lincoln or FDR.
Mm-mm. You know, it says Quincy Adams here for whatever reason.
Okay, that makes sense.
Why?
Oh, because he was trained raised internationally from childhood. And
yeah. So.
Haven't you seen the John Adams movie?
No. He was involved in statecraft from about age 10.
No kidding. Yeah.
You know what I just saw before I came over here was Apple Plus is going to have a limited miniseries about Ben Franklin played by Michael Douglas. And I got a little excited.
I mean, we saw that was coming. Yeah.
So I like Ben Franklin. He's like one of my heroes.
Oh, Michael Douglas.
I think Paul Giamatti would be a great Ben Franklin, too.
He was a good John Adams.
He was a good John Adams.
He was a very good John Adams, yes.
I would have preferred Jonathan Winters.
Have you seen that bit on The Office where the Ben Franklin impersonator accidentally gets...
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up.
Oh, I have to look it up. I wasn't
They're having a little shower, and they're supposed to actually invite a male stripper. And instead, a Ben Franklin impersonator shows up.
Oh, I like it
so
already.
So they try to get him, you know... You gotta watch it.
I can't wait.
To disrobe.
You know what I mean?
I can't wait.
Sexy Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Apple Plus is also doing
what makes you happy,
Shirley
Ben?
Shirley Chisholm show.
It's very funny.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think starting.
I gotta rewatch The Office.
Do you have more than one vest, Ben Franklin?
Tell us more about the air baths.
1-900 Ben Franklin. Call live now.
What have you and poor Richard been up to?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Okay.
And what's with the kite?
What's with the kite?
How'd you like to get a charge out of that string?
Next time you come, Ben, would you bring your kite?
This is my question set.
I can keep going.
Or ask the professor. I'm in Dr. Oljar's Philosophy 2500. Thank you so much, Adam Alam. He's one of my advisees. So let's see what we got here. Ooh, answers in red. Thank you, Adam. Which male professional tennis player has the most Grand Slam titles of all time as of the end of 2023?
Pete Sampras.
Federer.
Not on the list. Oh. On the list, but incorrect.
Djokovic.
It says Djokovic.
Djokovic.
Say Bjorn Borg.
Djokovic.
Next,
me too.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I remember Bjorn Borg.
Ooh, it's been a while since I've heard this name. Djokovic. Who is the youngest male player ever to win one of the four major Grand Slam titles of tennis at 17 years, 109 days?
Boom.
From
Germany.
It doesn't say country of origin. So.
Bjorn Borg?
No,
I know who you're
talking
about.
Not Bjorn Borg.
Not Agassi.
No.
You actually haven't named a single one of the choices that he gave either. Yeah.
Oh, so he's got multiple choices.
Yes, but I want to see if we can do it organically.
Oh, no, that's fine. I think we should do it organically.
He was 17 and he won Wimbledon.
So how about I tell you that the choices are?
Was it Anders?
Later got in trouble for taxes.
Oh.
How about I give you some choices? Yes. We've been around the block.
Okay.
It's either Carlos Alcaraz.
No.
Yannick Sinner.
Mm-mm.
Michael Chang. Rafael Nadal.
Ooh.
Michael Chang.
It was Michael Chang.
Okay. Scrub my idea.
He flamed out really early, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Sort of like really good and then get to make that sound again.
Second time you've made that.
Yeah, absolutely. The longest major tennis match ever played was between John Isner and Nicholas Mahut at the 2010 Wimbledon. The match lasted 11 hours, 5 minutes. Over how many days was this match settled?
Three.
Three days is what it says.
Somebody got their money's worth. Jeez.
Wow,
they ended this thing one day. They ended like 3:30 in the morning, and they said, okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow.
What?
And then I think there was a weather delay the second day. Sent it to the third day.
How's about a physical delay at that point?
I'm just envisioning Ernie Harwell going like, we got some free tennis coming up
right here.
And some lucky fan from Saugatuck takes the ball home.
Who was it between again? Eisner and...
It said Eisner and Mahut, M-A-H-U-T. I'm really excited about the Tigers' new TV announcer. Jason Benetti is actually a rock star, and we got him from national broadcast to broadcast for us. Look for it. He's cool. I'm not going to say anything else. Maybe off
air. Is his wife's name Lulu?
No, his wife's name is not Lulu. Me and Lulu. That's what Bernie always said.
Yeah, that's right.
Which of the following is a type of court? In the four major tennis grand slams.
A type of wood?
Court. Clay,
yes.
Grass,
yes.
Hard.
Yes.
All of them, yes.
Oh, no.
All of them, yes.
Of them,
yes.
Yeah.
The
composition would be the right.
I think that's, yeah, exactly.
Well, he's your student.
Yeah. By the way, hard, is that just concrete?
That's the regular one.
Right, is it concrete? Composition.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Just making sure. Switching gears. Which NBA team has the most championships of all time? 17.
Boston Celtics.
Boston Celtics.
Yes. Hmm. And?
LA Lakers.
The Lakers. It's okay. Both Boston and LA at stand at 17.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Sports.
They go
sports
after ball. Each other.
I do know tennis. That's the only one.
So this is another one of those angle problems. He says, "What year was University of Detroit Mercy founded?" So technically it's...
1991.
Yes. Was the answer, but the University of Detroit was founded in
1877.
And even that's not true because it wasn't a university. It was Detroit College. So there you go. See, I'm getting picky.
Quick history.
It's a big deal because we're very close to 100th anniversary of McNichols campus. Mm-hmm. Just a couple years away, actually. So that should be interesting if we do anything for it. What is the circumference of the moon?
Big.
Really big.
I'm going to give you partial credit.
Excellent.
Let's
smaller
see if you can
Earth.
Get to...
Cheese. Oh, you didn't say composition.
Cheese is also partial credit. Yeah, exactly. What's the circumference of the moon in miles?
Can we get a hint of, like, what's the circumference of Earth?
The Earth is approximately... Oh, circumference. Oh. The diameter of the Earth is about 8,000 miles.
Okay.
So we know the
That's
moon
helpful.
Is smaller than that.
So 3,200?
It's the circumference of the
circumference.
Moon.
Circumference. Oh. Yes. So it's 3.14 times whatever that
yes.
is.
Yes.
This is why I went to art
so
school.
So I'm going right. to give it to Heather, because if you take your original number, you approximately get 6,800 miles.
There
which
you go.
Is, yeah,
oh,
so
that's right.
You correctly
right.
guessed the diameter of
take,
the moon.
Take a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really well
You're so that's scientific.
Yeah. Hey.
How many dentists... practice in the United States in 2023, according to the ADA.
What?
Yeah. How all of them went to dental school here.
Here.
Wait,
okay. How many of them practice? How many of them actually, you know, perfect? That's all.
We have to solve this mathematically.
Okay. Where's Dan?
How do we do that?
Yeah, Dan's not here.
32,000.
Data.
32,000 is a little low.
Okay.
I would say 85,000.
85,000 is a little low. I'm sorry.
100,000.
Is a little low.
Oh my God.
210,000.
I'll give it to you. It's 202,304 dentists practicing in the United States.
How come you can never get
dental hygienist?
It says dentist.
How come you can never get an appointment?
That's a good question. Also, in a twist of hilarity, I'm not making fun of you, Adam. I do this all the time. He gave the four choices, and they're all in the hundreds of whatevers of thousands. The correct answer is 202,304, but he did not put a comma in. He put a decimal, so it's only 202.304 dentists. I'm like, what's 3.304 of a dentist? I don't know. We should investigate. Only one country on Earth has been eligible to compete in every men's soccer FIFA World Cup. Which is it?
Brazil.
Spain.
Brazil. Spain. It was Brazil. Okay. Spain is a good guess, though. It is Brazil. Yeah.
Hmm.
What city name? Huh. I don't know if we've ever had this before. This is cool. What city name? So there's a city named this on
Clawson.
Every continent in the world. Except for Antarctica. What is it?
Springfield.
Springfield.
Salem.
Yeah. Springfield, Australia. No, a very famous city in Europe.
Rome.
It's Rome. It's Rome.
Okay.
There is a city named Rome on every continent of the world. So now, how is that working in Asia? I have to think about that. I'm going to look it up when we're done here. I'm not going to let this one
I missed Rome, Australia.
Yeah, well, you missed Rome, Australia.
You'll have to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's on every continent, you said?
It said on every continent except for Antarctica.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
well,
where's Rome in North
everything
America?
And
Rome, Georgia.
I think it's there. It's probably multiple.
No, I'm thinking of
Rome. Apple.
You're thinking of Romulus.
Yeah.
Romulus.
Ohio.
Last question.
Remus. And,
oh, see? I hope Adam's achieving well in your Philosophy 2500 because I believe he's alluding to the fact that you asked for 10 questions and he gave 11.
Oh.
He always goes the extra mile. Over What's the capital
above.
Of Albania?
Extra credit.
Oh, I should know this.
Come on, pull out that Macedonian Albania. Wit. Come
I've
on.
I've been to Albania.
Capital starts with a capital T.
Tirana.
Tirana.
Yeah.
Tirana.
Nice.
That's got it.
Tirana.
Yep, nice. Yes. Very well done. Very well done.
Let's There's a Nero see. Wolfe novel set partially in Albania.
Okay.
That was why I knew that because he's from Montenegro. Originally,
Albania, Albania.
He had to track down the murderer of his best friend.
Adriatic.
Hi, Professor Oljar told our symbolic logic class to make trivia questions. I made questions up about March Madness. I love basketball, and I had fun making these from your student, Hee-Won Kim.
So, he's a good
thanks
student.
For sending them in.
So is Adam. They both are.
Okay, good. Which college won the men's 2023 NCAA basketball tournament?
2023? UConn.
Last year. UConn. Yeah. University of Connecticut. Yes.
That's right. Dogs.
Huskies.
The Huskies. What is the maximum number of games you could play in the tournament if you started?
Ooh, well, if you play the play-in game.
There we go.
Then you could, five, I guess.
Is it five?
Oh, yeah, no. If you have a play-in game.
So if you play the play-in, you have the play-in, then you play in the round of 64. 64. 32, 16, 8.
Eight. Oh, six.
Four.
Four.
Two.
I think it's seven.
Seven.
Yeah,
seven.
I think it's seven, yeah. Yeah.
I said eight.
Absolutely. You were very close, Mara. You were very close. This is the greatest question that's ever been asked on this show. When does March Madness begin?
March?
Correct. Okay, moving on.
Yesterday.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, with Oakland winning? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Which famous University of Duke head basketball coach announced his retirement at the end of the 2021 basketball season?
Coach K.
Yep, Coach K. Just like to point out that one of the trivia bits during the Oakland-Kentucky game last night was... The lowest paid assistant on the Kentucky team makes more than double what Greg Campy makes as head coach at Oklahoma.
Not shocking. Not shocking.
That was one of the factoids.
Wow.
I'm not surprised.
You gotta be kidding me, is all I have to say. About the whole enterprise.
Yeah.
Still fun to watch.
The water boy makes as much.
Yep. Let's see. Who is unofficially credited with coining the phrase March Madness? A very, very well-known CBS sports broadcaster.
Jim Nantz?
No. Those are all good guesses.
Mike Tirico.
Oh, last generation broadcaster. Oh.
Bob Costas.
I mean, you're in the right wheelhouse with that, but
Howard
it's not.
Oh, Brent Musburger?
Is Brent Musburger.
Yep.
Holy smokes. Based on the number of combinations from the 64-team field, what is the likeliness of making a perfect bracket?
Wow. It's like hit lightning.
Well, it's not going to happen this year, that's for sure.
Well, and that's a good way
it's
to put it.
It's never happened.
President Obama never had much luck
that's
with
right.
his bracket.
Infinitesimal.
Our choices are like one in several thousands, one in billions, one in trillions. It's actually one in 9.2 quintillion.
Sure.
Wow. You can get it right. And that is the reason why, by the way. Oh, that's on me, Michael. Sorry about that. That when the University of Virginia was the first ever number one seed to lose to 16 about 5 or 6 years ago.
2018.
They walked them, not even through a presser, through the kitchen back to their bus. And by the time they made it on the bus, people were already receiving death threats on social media because so many brackets
had been busted
by that fact. Whoa. Absolutely brutal. There should be a, you know, ESPN 30 for 30 on that. It's absolutely horrifying how much money is carried on the tournament.
And the thing is, these are young students.
They're right. just students.
Yeah,
that's all they are.
Death threats.
No,
really?
I no comment. Oh. Yeah. The total number, if I remember the number, speaking of numbers, there was millions and millions of entries in the ESPN.com bracket pool, and it had been reduced to less than 20,000 by one game.
Okay.
Yep. Impossible.
Them
so
breaks.
There you go. I'm afraid the time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.